Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. This letter is written to the church in Philadelphia. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Father, again, we thank you for Christ. We thank you for that open door into heaven. Please, would none of us here fail to go through it. Please, would we consistently point others to it. We think of this evening, Lord. We pray that many might find that open door at the evangelistic event. And for ourselves now, we pray that you would minister your word to us by the power of your Spirit, to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. How do you keep going as a Christian? When I was a teenager, we had a large youth group in our church, loads of kids in church on a Sunday evening. And then we'd have a youth Bible study afterwards. The group seemed very strong. But where are they today? Some are keeping going as Christians. Many are not. What happens? What stops people carrying on as Christians? The simple answer is that we choose the pleasures of this world over living for Christ. It doesn't have to be this way. I love the music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach was born into a musical family in 1685. By the age of 10, both his parents were dead. But this didn't turn Bach against God. Early in his life, he knew that he would write music for the glory of God. Most of his works are explicitly biblical. He's been described as the fifth evangelist. He was given charge of the music ministry in a church at the age of 17, and he was amazing in everything that he produced. But at the beginning of every piece of work, you will find the letters JJ. This stands for Jesu Juva. Jesus, help me. And at the end of each manuscript, you'll find SDG. Stands for Soli Deo Gloria. To the glory of God alone. Bach lived for Christ. Today, we look at this letter of Jesus to the Christians in Philadelphia. They lived for Christ. And they kept going. You'll remember that the book of Revelation is written to seven churches who are experiencing persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian in the late 90s AD. The writer under God is the Apostle John, who's been exiled to a prison camp on the island of Patmos. Five of these seven churches come in for criticism from the Lord Jesus. Philadelphia and Smyrna both receive only praise and no criticism. What can we learn about keeping going as a Christian under pressure from Philadelphia? The answer is a lot. Some further context about Philadelphia. All of these seven churches are in modern Turkey. Philadelphia was known as the gateway to the east. It was a major commercial center. It was also founded to be a missionary center for Greek pagan culture. It was a prosperous place with many vineyards. It was the center of worship of Dionysus, the god of wine. And there were also many other temples to other gods. This was a volcanic region, and there were many earthquakes. In 17 BC, there was a massive earthquake which raised the city to the ground. So here in Philadelphia, there's a small church facing massive problems. But they keep going. What can we learn about keeping going? And keeping going in a hostile culture? On the backs of your sheets, Jesus is the answer. He's always the answer. Jesus is the answer. He will protect us. He will prosper us in heaven. Jesus is the answer. Firstly, he will protect us. Verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, we've been saying that angel means messenger in Greek. So probably Jesus is writing to the messenger, the preacher of the church in Philadelphia. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. This is a reference to Isaiah 22, where God's servant is given the keys of David in the sense of being given authority to make binding decisions for the king. Jesus fulfills this. Jesus has authority, all authority. He can admit and exclude from God's kingdom. What he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. This is a significant verse. By this stage, the Christians have been excluded from the synagogue. And they've come under persecution from the Jews. Jesus is saying that the only door that matters is not the door to the synagogue. It's the door to God's kingdom. Jesus, as the children told us, has opened this door by dying on the cross to pay for all our sin. He's removed the barrier of our sin which stood between us and God. And now that door to God stands open, and no one can shut it. Jesus can open the door of heaven and let us in. Jesus can shut the door of heaven and keep us out. The question is, will he open the door for us? Or will he close the door? If you know that the door is open and that no one can shut it, that's a great incentive to keep going as a Christian. I can see heaven. I can see it there. I know I'm going there. The door is open. I'm going to get there. That's an incentive to keep going. Verse 8, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. So focus on heaven. An American tourist visited the 19th century Polish rabbi, Chovetz Chaim, astonished to see that the rabbi's home was only a simple room filled with books, plus a table and a bench. The tourist asked, Rabbi, where is your furniture? Where's yours? Replied the rabbi. Mine? Asked the puzzled American. But I'm only a visitor here. I'm just passing through. So am I, said Chovetz Chaim. The great John Stott was the same. He had very few possessions. He just lived in a very small apartment. He was living for heaven. Jesus has opened the door of heaven for us. This should be our focus. Not trying to create heaven on earth. That won't work. Not trying to make everything perfect for us on earth. When heaven is our focus, we don't store up treasure on earth. And we keep going as Christians. But what he shuts, no one can open. If Jesus bars us from heaven, there's nothing we can do about it. No money, no status, no power will change his mind. The only thing to do is to trust in Christ now. Make him our King. Make him our Savior. Live for him. He will protect us. Verse 8b. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Under the protection of Jesus, with little strength of our own, we can be like Philadelphia. We can keep God's word. What pressure is there on us to deny God's word now? Two issues are obvious in our society. One is to say that all religions lead to God. Christianity is just one of many options. We're all taking different routes up the same mountain. But here in Philadelphia, there were many Greek and Roman gods. The Christians here, they knew what it meant to keep going in a multi-faith society. The other massive issue for us is to do with gender and sexuality. The Bible teaches that gender is God-given, and that sex is reserved for heterosexual marriage. Not a very popular thing to say. But again, here in the Roman Empire, homosexual activity was commonplace. And under the protection of Jesus, these Christians have remained faithful. The other pressure the Christians face is from the Jews, verse 9. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Probably, as I was saying, the Christians have been expelled from the synagogue. Jesus is saying what Paul says in Romans 2, that a true Jew is someone who loves God through Jesus. Here, the Jews are persecuting the Christians. In time, they will acknowledge the truth about Jesus, which is why we should love the Jewish people and rejoice that so many of them are now turning to Christ. These Christians in Philadelphia, verse 10, have kept Christ's command to endure patiently. Can that be said of us? Are we enduring patiently? Maybe enduring opposition, perhaps from unsaved family, maybe in school, maybe in work, whatever it is. Are we enduring patiently? Knowing that Jesus will protect us, verse 10. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. It seems there will be increasing persecution of Christians before Christ returns. Are we not seeing this with IS? And there'll be a general test on the whole of the earth. For example, in chapter 8, verse 13. Woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blasts. Jesus will protect those who are his. Some will be killed. But their place in heaven is secure. He will protect us. Secondly, he will prosper us in heaven. Verses 11 to 13. Everything in our society says we should seek prosperity now. This is your reward. You're worth it. Don't settle for anything less. Jesus says, verse 11, I am coming soon. There's our reward. The knowledge that Jesus is coming soon. And if we are faithful to him, if we love him, if we please him, he has a great reward for us. Hold on to what you have. Hold on to your faith in Christ so that no one will take your crown. In chapter 4, the elders in heaven wear crowns, golden crowns, which famously they cast down before the throne of God. The crown is an image of sharing Christ's rule. Where there's been persecution and humiliation of Christians, this is reversed. There is great reward. This is the prosperity that really matters. Your job will come to an end. Your house will one day fall down. The BHS pension scheme has just collapsed. Hold on to Christ. Hold on to him. He is your reward. He will give you a crown. Verse 12, the one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. This is a picture of permanence and stability. You will be with God forever in the temple, which is his people. You may have been expelled from the synagogue, but you have a place in God's temple. We say that so-and-so is a pillar of the church. Well, you really will be like that. Not a literal pillar in a literal temple, but you will have your place in God's people in heaven. Never again will they leave it. You will have a permanent home in heaven. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on them my new name." So here we have a triple name. The name of my God. It's also the name of the city of my God. It is heaven, the New Jerusalem. It is also my new name. This is the new name God has for us. The city of Philadelphia had twice received a new name. Neo Caesarea, in gratitude for Tiberius's help in rebuilding after the earthquake. And later, Flavia, after the family name of the Emperor Vespasian. Here, of course, the new name means that the believers have a new identity. They are now Christians, Christ's people. And with this new name, they have access to heaven. So again, verse 13, Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." What is the Spirit saying to us today? What can we learn about keeping going? Jesus is the answer. He will protect us. He will prosper us in heaven. So can I ask you, are you keeping going? Are you thinking of giving up? Remember Christian in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. Christian is the central character, and he represents us on our way to heaven. Christian is on a journey to the celestial city, heaven. As he walks through the world, all sorts of things happen to him. He's constantly caused to stop and tempted to turn around and head back. But he doesn't do it. He keeps going. On one occasion, Christian approaches the Palace Beautiful. He's hoping to find lodging there. But before he goes very far, he enters a very narrow passage. And terrifyingly, he sees two lions in his way. "Now," thought he, "I see that this is dangerous." Bright, isn't he? Then Bunyan adds in brackets, "The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains. Then he was afraid." This is the Christian life. It's a long, hard journey to get to heaven. And there are frightening obstacles in our way sometimes. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, "Is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained and are placed there for trial of faith, where it is, and for discovery of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee." Is thy strength so small? Are you keeping going as a Christian? Jesus is the answer. He will protect us. He will prosper us in heaven. The hymn writer William Cooper wrote these words. Remember, Cooper was chronically ill with depression. I seem forsaken and alone. I hear the lion's roar, and every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Does that describe your experience? Is it tough living for Christ? Do you face frightening lions? Well, learn from the Philadelphians. Jesus was the answer. He protected them. And now he has prospered them in heaven. They are there now. They are enjoying Christ. They're so glad they lived for Christ. They're so glad they kept going. And that will be you too. You will be in heaven. And you will say, thank you, Lord, that you kept me going. Thank you, Lord, that you protected me from those frightening lions. Thank you, Lord, for this prosperity in heaven, which nothing can take away. Thank you, Lord, for that. In a moment, we're going to sing a great hymn. It says this: what from Christ the soul can sever, bound by everlasting bands, once in him forever, this eternal covenant stands. None shall pluck you, none shall pluck you from the Saviour's mighty hands. Is that true of you this morning? That you know you're held in the hand of Jesus? He says in John 10, we're held in his hand and held in the hand of the Father. Is that you this morning? You know that you're trusting in Christ and that he's holding on to you. If it's not you yet, come to him this morning. Take hold of his hand. Allow him to be your king and your savior. And he will hold on to you for all eternity.